Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. The coach will talk later on this afternoon. I would assume some sort of update, but nothing definitive, I would guess, on Jaden Daniels. But all of the reporting yesterday, pregame and even during the game with the announcing crew, was all about the idea that Jaden would return Sunday against the Chargers. October is 2 days away, and so will the return of chilly air seeping into your home. That is if you've got old, stuck, or cracked windows. Eliminate annoying drafts once and for all with top quality replacement windows from Window Nation. Window Nation has some of the best replacement windows out there. Their installation crews finish the job in 1 day or less, so you can get back to your daily routines with minimal interruption. Window Nation offers a lifetime warranty on all their windows, so you can relax knowing your home is protected far into the future. During the month of October, when you buy two windows, you'll get the next two free. There's no limit to how many windows you can replace, and your total price includes 1 day installation. Make no payments for 2 years. That's no monthly payments, no down payment, and no interest until 2027. That's a big deal with the holidays right around the corner. Put an end to your window problems before this beautiful fall weather ends. Call Window Nation today at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. All right, back to my game take. I had just started with the things that were not good from the game, and it's all about defense, number one. But number two, for real quickly, actually, from Lawrence. Lawrence writes, clear coverage issues, too many linebackers in coverage, including your boy Armstrong. Yeah, Armstrong will drop into coverage every once in a while. There are certain things we as, you know, I think attentive fans can identify. Wagner in coverage doesn't look like the best idea as, you know, something you want to do too much of. Lattimore appears to be struggling, yes. It appears as if there are too many free releases for receivers at the line of scrimmage, especially when they use motion. There was a 3rd and 4 with Bijan in the slot yesterday where it didn't look like anybody was covering him. There are lots of issues, but again, is it scheme, play calling, coaching, you know, in one bucket, or is it players, talent, execution in the other? I bet it's somewhere in between. They got to fix it, okay? Herbert, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey and company, Quentin Johnston, he's having a much better year this year. Yeah, they've got to get better in that area. Defense, number one on the list of things that all of us, I'm sure, had a problem with yesterday. Number two for me is Cliff Kingsbury's play calling. I say this every time I do this because Sonny Jurgensen for years said, stop doing the, you know, you think the play calling was bad. But when you've got two of your backs going 14 for 106 and 7.5 yards per carry. As a team, 22 for 147, 6.7 yards per carry. I think that's all that you really need to say, why 33 called pass plays? If you count, by the way, penalties, sacks, and scramble, why 33 called pass plays and 20 called run plays? Why? Like, they weren't behind so much throughout the entire game that they had to desperately down 21 to nothing start throwing the football. It was, you know, 10 to 7. It was 17 to 10. It was 17 to 13. It was 24 to 16. You know, now by the time they got the ball back, the 31-24, understood, you know, it, or 34-24 when they got the ball back down, 34-24, you got to throw there. I just, and sometimes that'll skew some of the numbers. I just didn't love it. I felt kind of like I did it in the Green Bay game in that you were having a major problem defensively. And then yesterday there wasn't an issue with pass protection or throwing the football like there was in the Green Bay game. But with the play count and the time of possession kind of doubled up in the first half, I think you wanted to come back and do something a little bit more time-consuming. You know, if you go to the first play of the second half, okay, Bill's in the game. He rips off a 16-yard first down run. They go tempo, and they take a deep shot to Lane, which was caught, by the way, but holding on Sinnott. So before you know it, it's first and 20, and then after an offensive PI on McCaffrey, it's first and 30. They amazingly, okay, overcame the first and 30. That was where Mariota on third and 14 scrambled for 22 yards. But you really weren't getting stopped. And by the way, Kroski Merritt is and Rodriguez are two of your better players, two of your better skill position players. I'd like to see in the next four games, Kroski Merritt's got 29 carries in four games. I'd like to see double that in the next four. And I understand, I said this earlier, that they have some concerns, I'm sure, with his inexperience, especially as a pass protector. Coach him up. You got to have him on the field. If the same issue exists with Rodriguez, coach him up. You need those guys on the field more. You need them carrying the ball more. I think it's a decent run-blocking offensive line with the way they've, you know, structured it the last 2 weeks. You know, they didn't go heavy jumbo as much, I don't think, as last week. I'd have to look at the snap count for Trent Scott. They started the game that way. Find the snap count for Trent Scott. I'm going to bet it's not what it was last week. Last week he was in for about a third of the plays.
Looking right now, Nikki just posted them.
Trent Scott, nine snaps in the game 16%. Out of 57. So, yeah, a lot less of the jumbo sixth offensive lineman in the game than last week, even though they started the game that way. I don't know. To me, they should have been able to run the football. They were bigger than Atlanta was up front. What did you say? I'm sorry, Max.
Nine snaps, 16%.
Yeah. So I think that they could have gone to the run more. I felt that way against Green Bay, but Bates was lost, and they felt like they weren't going to be successful doing that. And maybe they would have been right. But here's what's indisputable. The two running backs yesterday were averaging a ridiculous 7.5 yards per carry. And these weren't, you know, draws at the end of the first half from your own 20 running the clock out where somebody goes for 30. Okay. These were, you know, first down, second down runs. On the list of things that I didn't like, there were a lot of fumbles in the game, but none of them were lost. Amazingly, Lane muffed two punts at the end of the first half. Debo fumbled and recovered it. So they got lucky, you know, that they didn't lose one of those. Atlanta fumbled too. Bijan fumbled on that knockout by Payne, and which, by the way, saved them 4 points because it was second and one and it went to third and seven and they got the stop, you know, one of the, you know, few times that they got a stop on third down and they forced a field goal. So that was a big play. And then on a punt by Tressway near the end of the first half, that ball knocked off, you know, one of the Atlanta players, you know, legs, shins, and that was loose for a while. But Lane, two muffed punts. That was disappointing because he had not really done that. You know, we had that issue, remember, last year with Zacchaeus a little bit back on punts. So two more things on the list of things that I didn't like. So the first is very nitpicky, but I just thought Quinn should have been more aggressive at the end of the first half. Now, when they took over from their own 8-yard line, I would have been fine with him being conservative there. But they got to the 33 in a few plays, and then on a second and 10, they ran McNichols and let the clock run. The ball's at the 35-yard line, the second and 10 run. Come on, man. You got out to the 33 pretty quickly. Let's go for it. You know, this has been his MO. And you've got a quarterback that, for the most part, is making some good decisions and some good throws. I understand you're limited in your offense, you know, of array of weapons. But you covered some 25 yards of ground pretty quickly, and then you dialed it back. I think, you know, he might say, when we got to second and 10 after the first incompletion, we wanted to run the clock. That 2-yard run wasn't intended to be a two-yard run. We thought we could get 7 or 8, and then we would have gone faster with the ball at the 40-yard line. But once we did that and we were faced with 3rd and 8, they weren't calling a timeout, which was a mistake on their part. We just wanted to go into the, you know, locker room down 7, knowing we would get the ball first to start the second half. I understand that thinking, but man, I don't know. He's always been an err on the side of being aggressive, and we've now had, I think, 2 occasions at the end of halves where they've been, you know, uncharacteristically conservative. Then last on the list, they did not need to kick that field goal at the end down 34-24 when they kicked it, okay? Most of you understand this, and I know a lot of you don't. It's not your thing. You don't follow all this stuff. But down 34-24 with no timeouts left, you need, obviously, a field goal and a touchdown, right? You're going to have to recover an onside kick, regardless of what the next score is. You'd much rather the next score be a field goal with, you know, 30 seconds or so left in the game, 25 seconds or so left in the game, giving you a legitimate chance to get in field goal range. They had moved the ball up and down the field in the fourth quarter, and they were moving the ball up and down the field again. And for some reason, they clocked it when they reached the Atlanta 24, and they sent Matt Gay out there with a minute 29 left. And the purpose of that is, look, if we're going to need a touchdown, we want the most amount of time if we do recover the onside kick. I understand that. But you were in touchdown scoring range. You were 4 yards away from the red zone. And you had them on their heels. I would have gone another 40 seconds, another 5, 6, 7, 8 snaps in the game. Although with the clock running, if it's inbounds, it's going to be far fewer. Understood. But call it 3 or 4 snaps, offensive snaps, trying to score a touchdown before I would have sent the field goal kicker out there. You really, when you're down, you know, when you're down 9, 10, or 11 in a game, late in a game, there's so many different scenarios. But basically, if you're in that situation where you have no timeouts and you're below the 2-minute warning and you're going to have to recover an onside kick, if you've got an opportunity to get the touchdown first, which they did based on the context, which was they had moved the ball down the field in the previous drive and the drive prior to that, and there they were moving it down the field again, and they had a minute 30 left. A minute 30. No, don't kick there. Go get the touchdown. Spend at least another 45 seconds trying to get the touchdown. How many plays is that? It depends on how many plays are inbounds versus out of bounds, completed versus incompleted, penalties versus no penalties. It was just, there are times where you want that kicker out there. You know, like if you've got less than 3 timeouts left, okay, less than 3, and you're before the 2-minute warning, and you can get a kickoff before the 2-minute warning, forcing them to run a play before the 2-minute warning on offense, giving you a 3rd timeout, you do it there. You certainly do it with 30 seconds or 25 seconds left down 10 so that you ensure you've got time left if you recover an onside kick to at least get into range for a Hail Mary or a touchdown. I would not have kicked with a minute 29 left. It was far too early. All right, other observations from the game. I talked about him all week long. I think I've talked about him going back to last year. Bijan Robinson is one of the most mesmerizing players in the league to watch if you're just a football fan and you can be objective. He is truly a superstar. He is right there with Saquon, with Derrick Henry as runners. He's also an excellent pass catcher. Bijan Robinson has this sick ability to make people miss with unbelievable cut on dime ability. He's got wiggle. He's got the ability to make people never sort of square up and hit him directly. He's got speed, although Reeves made a great play running him down on that pass. He was outstanding in that game yesterday, and their best players had to be, and they were desperate to be. Michael Penix, by the way, Bijan's combined 181 yards was a career high for him. That was actually surprising to me. I would have thought he would have had a buck 50 and a 75-yard passing day. Michael Penix Jr. was really, really good in the game. He has top 10 arm talent, period. Okay, so did Cam Newton, so did Jamarcus Russell, so did Jeff George. I understand that, okay? Michael Penix Jr. has top 10 arm talent. He's got a ridiculous, you know, throwing motion. It's such a quick release. And when he sees it and he is decisive, you saw it at Washington, he is really good. I think he's going to be an outstanding NFL quarterback. He was my number three quarterback behind Jaden and Caleb in the draft. I liked him a lot more than McCarthy, a lot more than Nix, a lot more. I liked him more than I liked Drake May, and I liked Drake May. But I think Penix Jr. has elite-level potential as a passer. He was terrible last week. If they weren't playing our team, I would have really appreciated the resilience for him because he heard it all week. I watched his press conference on Wednesday. It was so impressive. And everything from down there, from the people that cover the team, the people, the players, this kid is self-aware. He's accountable. I think he's going to be a star at the position. And yeah, Washington's defense and coverage issues seem to be easy pickings for quarterbacks with some talent. Penix Jr. was outstanding. Other observations from the game. Raheem Morris just is terrible as a game situation coach. I mean, bottom four or five in the league. He literally cost his team a playoff berth when they lost here in December with his just abysmal clock management at the end of the half and at the end of the game last year. And he doesn't have a clue. I know Raheem is incredibly well-liked, and he is a motivator. He is a people person. He has no clue how bad he is. They can't stand him down there for this. And I don't understand when Quinn decided to bail at the end of the first half with that run to McNichols on second and 10 that got 2 yards. I don't know why he's not calling timeout. Like, it's the same thing they did last year. They didn't give their team a chance up 14-7 to go up 21-7 in Washington in Landover and instead kicked a field goal. It was pathetic. He just is really, really awful at that. And I don't think he is coachable. Raheem is one of those guys. He's a people guy, but he's got all the answers. Just ask him. They're terrible at that. Ben Sinnott, for the second straight week, stood out to me as a blocker. There was a play yesterday, a reverse to Debo, where he blocked two people. I think he's proven himself here recently to be a good blocker. Of course, he's not a pass target, surprisingly. He also had a couple of penalties yesterday. The Falcons, here's another observation. The Falcons made a PAT after the ball was tipped. I can't see who got a piece of it. Maybe we'll find out who it was. But with all of the kicks that have been blocked around the league, more yesterday, and you know, just in, and last night, you had a two-point return on a PAT by the Cowboys. That kick got through, though. Got through from 33 yards out on a PAT after it got deflected at the line of scrimmage. Also, look, this is a two-point conversion analytics thing. I understand having more information is better than having less information. Down 31-16 on the 4th-and-3 touchdown pass to Debo, Quinn decided to go for two there. They converted it. Look, the conversion rate on two-point plays is still less than 50% on average in the league. So if you don't get it, it's 31-22. Yes, you have more information. You now need two scores. I understand that is valuable to know that. I also think that there is game pressure that exists in an 8-point game for your opponent versus a 9-point game. I wonder if that is factored into that decision. I'm not criticizing him for it. If I was, I would have had him on the list of things I didn't like. I just think that this going for two down in that situation, down 15 initially, creates the probability, because 2-point conversions are less than 50-50, that it's going to be a 9-point game and the other team is not going to feel enough game pressure. And I think there's something to score time and associated game pressure and the way the game is played after that. But anyway, just an observation. Your chance now, 301-230-0980. I'll take your calls next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lloyd among those there, defensively flagged out. Deep shot. Mariota! Over the shoulder interception! Xavier Watts!
I think that was on him. I think you got to look that safety off. I don't think the shot there was the right shot, but we'll let the film breakdown analysts get into that one. This from Joey. Joey writes with the subject title, "The Regressionists Were Right." Kevin, there were numerous beat reporters and NFL insiders predicting a major regression to the mean this season, to the point like it seemed like groupthink. I refused to buy into it. I thought it was lazy. But through 4 weeks, I hate to admit it, I think they were right. This team doesn't have enough talent. Last year was a dream, but Quinn ran a soft camp, and that looks like a mistake. Adam Peters clearly missed on too many picks in his first draft. They just don't have the horses. The defense has no plan. Joe Witt Jr. isn't at risk of losing his job in season, but it's pretty clear he's dead man walking and will need to be replaced this offseason. Bobby Wagner is cooked. Luvu is slow to step or two. Lattimore, no comment. Getting Jaden Daniels back is nice, but they scored 68 points in two games without him. Scoring points is not the issue. So how much of a difference will he make? They need a Jaden Daniels on defense and they don't have one. I'm sure I'll get over this in a day or two, but my excitement for this season is already waning. The NFC is too good, unless Jaden plays every game the rest of the season at an MVP level, I don't see the math for a playoff spot. This looks like an 8-9 team, unfortunately. The next two games are must wins. Looking forward to hearing your take. Joey in Jersey. Thank you, Joey, for that. Yeah, I mean, I would say four games is way too early when in two of them, your starting quarterback and your MVP from last year and one of the best players in the NFC last year hasn't played in those games. I get your point. They scored 41 against the Raiders. Remember, they had a big punt return, and but the Raiders weren't really that good on that day. And they scored 27 yesterday. Offense wasn't the problem. I get it. But I do think Jaden would have made a difference in yesterday's game. They kicked four field goals in the game. Some of that is because of self-infliction, and at the same time, he probably would have overcome some of that self-infliction. So, yeah, look, if he had played the last two games and they had won yesterday with him and they were 3-1, it would look different. There's a long way to go. I think, last week on Monday, I said I I have a real problem with this Atlanta game, and I think it's a dangerous game, and I think they're going to lose this game. Really thought there was a good chance that they would lose it. I actually like our team Sunday against the Chargers if Jaden's back and 100% healthy, which is the only way he should be back. I think this is one of those where the expectations are going to be a bit low, and I think they will be a hungry team to right what happened yesterday. Now, the Chargers are in the same boat after losing to New York, after losing to the Giants, but I actually like our chances to win Sunday in LA. It's not a terrific home field advantage for the Chargers. It's a more neutral environment. I like the chances of a win Sunday, and it's just too early to point to the offseason pundits and say they were right about, by the way, a regression to the mean is not really the way to describe it. But thank you for that. Let's go to the phone lines. Actually, before we do that, Max, go ahead. After your big wedding in Ocean City, New Jersey, I'm sure you were a bit groggy, but you did watch the game. What were your big takeaways?
It's hard, man. Playing defense is so hard in the NFL, but these busting coverage, like I said, top three secondary before the season, they might be bottom three. Now, whether that's either coaching and scheme or players on the field, I mean, you said it in the open. It's a little bit too early to tell, but man, it's just disappointing on that back end. Like, the Falcons are good, credit to them, but just all these busting cover. Like, I said so many times during that game, how is he so wide open? And it feels like I said that 10-plus times. It's just got to clean it up. Got to stop shooting yourself in the foot on offense and getting these pre-snap penalties and stuff like that. But man, this secondary's got to clean it up. I'm not sure. Everyone's calling for Marshon Lattimore to be benched. It's tough for me to argue against that right now. So yeah, I think we got to do some shifting around in that secondary. That's my take.
All right. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's start with our guy, Jason in Laurel. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Jason.
You know, just hearing, like, from the junkies and stuff, I'm kind of blown away that people are, like, I think, blowing this loss out of proportion. I'm not happy about it. But I think of the players that were on the field, I would take Atlanta's roster over our roster. And we played well enough to win. We didn't win because of the things, the defense and stuff. But, you know, before this game or before the season, if you told me we would have as many injuries and Jaden wasn't going to play and Terry wasn't going to play and we were only going to lose to him by 7, I probably would take that. And that's what happened. I think if Jaden played, maybe we could have won. And I do think they made a gamble and lost, because there were reports that Jaden could have played in the Raiders game if it was a playoff situation. If that was the case, obviously he could have played yesterday, but they decided to sat him and we lost. But I was telling Maxis, and I'm curious what you would think of it. I like to play the switch around to sometimes compare teams. If you just switch one position group, you give us their running backs and they take our running backs, we would have smoked them. That team is just more talented. And,
well, but the problem is, would Cliff have used our running backs?
Yeah, you tweeted during the game, I hate to be that guy, but I want to run more. I do think we need to run more, and I do think the mentality of the people that are on this team behooves us to run more. And I don't know why we didn't run more in a game where, you know, Jane, I do think when Jane's in the game, I think we have probably the ability to run better. But, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world. It's a long season. The one thing that I'm 100% sure of is we need more talent on our roster, especially defensively.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate that as always, Jason. You know, back to Joey in Jersey saying the next two are must wins. They're not must wins at this point in the season, but you certainly don't want to be 2-4 after the next two. And after the Chargers, you've got the Bears on Monday night. They've won two in a row. By the way, you talk about, you know, revenge mode from the Hail Mary game. They'll come in here ready on Monday night, October 13th. But you just got to play them one at a time, man. I mean, that's so cliche. It's such coach speak. But this league just completely, you know, changes on a dime every 7 days in terms of the team's performances and the way we view these teams on Mondays following a weekend of football. And a week from today, it would not surprise me that we could be talking about an impressive performance by the starting quarterback, and feel really good again about a team that's 3-2 with Chicago at home and a bad defense in Dallas the week after that. Let's go to our guy Frank in Charlotte. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good, Frank.
Yes, I kind of agree with the guy from Jersey. I don't know about the meme thing. I don't agree with that, but I think that we have the origins of it start with Peterson, like I told you last week when I called last week.
You got to get to your point. Your phone's breaking up, man. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, I'm here.
Your phone isn't great, so just quickly to the point, because I know you've been on hold.
Okay. Yeah, I think the defense was, of course, was awful. I don't think that Wagner should be playing 100% of the snaps. I think he should have been playing.
Yeah, let's move on from Frank. His phone's just not good enough. Let's go to our guy, Aveen. Aveen, thanks. But Frank, yeah, the defense was a problem, and I think all of us can agree that Bobby Wagner's terrific against the run, terrific as a blitzing player, as a pass rusher, but in coverage right now struggling. Aveen, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I'm going to say a quick positive thing. I'm still somewhat encouraged by the run defense because I think they made enough splash plays, enough minimal yardage gain plays.
They did. They had some of those.
To put the Falcons behind the sticks enough where if we just had more of a competent defense, we would have gotten off the field more. I think those big runs they gave up and, you know, a lot of the missed tackles, those came towards the end of drives. And, you know, when you're worn down and it's demoralizing to give up so many third downs. So that's a quick positive thing. But, you know, you're right. I'm a fan, and I don't know, you know, how much of these guys being wide open is personnel versus scheme. But I watch enough NFL football to see that, you know, the guys we allowed wide open are wide open at a much higher rate than other defenses you watch in the league. And then you see defensive coordinators
except
around
Dallas.
The league, like what Todd. Yeah, that's true. But you see other defensive coordinators around the league. You see what Todd Bowles is doing with their young secondary. There's not a lot of, you know, name brand corners in the league. You see what the Packers and the Vikings are doing with their defenses, and I couldn't name any of their secondary players, their corners going into the season. See what Indianapolis, Jacksonville, you know, the Chargers are doing with their defenses. So some of this has to fall on coaching, and it seems like some of it is schematic. So I've just been having this intrusive thought, and it's probably not realistic, but I love what Cliff Kingsbury is doing. I'm super impressed by the offense. I love how our run game looks. I think Kingsbury is elite. I think he can be the next, you know, Kyle Shanahan guy in his next spot. And I just have this intrusive thought, you know, I would rather have Jaden paired with Kingsbury for his career than, you know, sticking with
the Sean McVay thing.
I know it's a hot take. I know, but
well, I mean, the Sean McVay when Sean McVay was the tight ends coach, Cooley said he would make McVay the coach and move on from Gruden when McVay was the tight ends coach. No, I know what you're saying. And by the way, I'm impressed with Cliff too, but I think he did not feel the game yesterday. I think when you've got a defense that can't get off the field, you're doubled up in play count, time of possession in the first half, and your two running backs are averaging 7.5 yards per carry, you've got to put it in their gut more than he did.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It's just sometimes hard to be patient with run game when you're constantly in catch-up mode. That's
It wasn't like massive catch-up mode. You know, I think, you know, you can't at the start of a half down 17-10 think you're in massive catch-up mode. And they did after a 16-yard run. They called three straight pass plays. And I know that they had to overcome a first and 30 at that point. By the way, I think your first point about the run defense, because I just looked this up, and I talked about some of the TFLs that they had yesterday. They had 7 tackles for loss in the game, and just one was a sack. So, I mean, Payne, Luvu, Armstrong, Kinlaw, Goldman, who else had one? Lattimore had one. Wagner had one. They did make some plays in the running game. There is no doubt that they did. I think early on, though, it was a gash fest until Payne knocked the ball out of Bijan's hands, which forced that first field goal. Thank you, Aveen, as always. Let's go to my guy Stan in Jersey. Stan, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
What's up, Stan?
A lot of things, nothing crazy situationally, but a couple things I think you'll like.
Oh, first, well, he shouldn't have kicked the field goal with a minute 30 left.
Obviously. I mean, that goes without saying. We know when you're in that deep, you got to keep going for it. You can't, especially with the way kickers kick nowadays.
Yeah.
But I'll start with a couple things. This game felt like Green Bay all over again from an offensive standpoint. In the Green Bay game, we could not stop or we could not gain a yard on them. And in this game, we weren't going to stop them. So it felt like even though it was a one-score game, we were never going to win this game. We just could not stop them yesterday, and it was a poor defensive effort. A couple other things. Kroski, I called earlier in the summer. I wasn't sure about the backfield situation. Kroski Merritt is your better back. He's more explosive. He needs to play a lot more. Good job by you with the going down from 15 to 9. I've always said this. The intensity from the players, the game pressure, even as a fan, you know you're only down one score. Now, I get when you do get that score and you're down two and there's only 3 seconds and you don't get it, you're screwed and you're like, why didn't we do that earlier? Because you would have known that you needed the two, or you needed more possessions earlier. But I do think there is something to be said for the intensity of the players, knowing that it's still a one-score game, the game pressure, all of that.
Let me just say, I'll interject right there. I always have a problem with an 8-point lead being described as a one-score game when the probability is it's still a two-score game. But yes, what I was referring to is when they were down 15, he went for the two on the fourth down touchdown pass to Debo. And if he had missed it, the 9-point game puts less game pressure on Atlanta. An 8-point game puts more game pressure on Atlanta. And that's my preference. Although I do understand more information is better than less information. But continue.
No,
I'm with you on Bill, too. He's got to get more carries.
I'm 100% with you. I think that's I understand why people don't do it, but, I do like the game type pressure, and as a fan, knowing it's still a one-score game if you don't get it. The end of the half, I'm not going to talk about the call third and two or third and eight, second and eight, and they ran it for 2 yards. I get he wants to try to make that the last possession. After the two-yard gain, he's just trying to make that the last possession of the half. He's no longer even trying to score a touchdown. He's just trying to kick a field goal and walk off, right?
Yeah, I think the issue with that is you start at your own 8-yard line, and in three plays, you're out to the 33, and there's still a minute 20 left. At that point, we're going to go score mode. And after an incompletion, they run the ball and let the clock roll. Now, Raheem made a mistake by not calling a timeout. That's the other thing. I mean, maybe he just knew how bad Raheem was at this and knew he wouldn't call a timeout, and he's going to get to the locker room, down seven, getting the ball to start the third quarter. That's why I said it's a bit of a small nit to pick, because maybe he was playing those odds that Raheem was an idiot. But I still think you're out at the 33. Let's go for it.
I agree. I think as soon as that incompletion and then the run, you could tell he was just playing for a walk-off field goal, and he didn't get it, obviously. But here's the other two things about this.
He wasn't even really playing. Yes, he was playing for a walk-off field goal because they dropped Mariota back on third and eight. That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
But the clock was rolling at that point.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing about the punt at the end of the half. You're going to love this. And I know you probably scream at your TV all the time. I know I do. When the Skins punted that ball to Atlanta, that Atlanta return man has to fair catch the ball and save the time. As soon as it bounces, this is where I scream at my TV. How do these players not know to get away, and let the clock roll? It's just going to roll until the official blows the whistle. It's going to be 6 seconds. Now, yesterday, it obviously hit the guy in the foot, so it was different. But how do these guys not know to just let it roll? 6 seconds will come off before the official blows the whistle. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
They must get some sort of kudo in the weekly meetings for being the guy that downed the ball, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why. What else you got? I want to get on to other callers.
Okay, two other things. Also, the end of the first half, there's under 10 seconds to go. We're in an all-out rush to block that punt. Why the heck do we field punts? Why do other teams field punts? I never understand.
Get the returner away. 100%. 100%.
All he can do is muff it.
There's only one thing that can happen if you've got him back there to fair catch is bad. Yes. And why exactly even have a returner back there?
No, just let it bounce around and end the half. It's so he's not the only one that does. They all
no, you're 100%. Not. I mean, it's just like with 7 seconds to go from your own 12-yard line, why does anybody even run a play? Why do you hand the ball off to anybody? Take a knee. It's the dumbest thing. Yeah.
Last thing, and this is league-wide now. I hate the kickoff. The kickoff needs to just go away, period, and it's got to start 1st and 10 on the 20. You're not avoiding the huge collision. There was a collision with that guy, Kehoe, yesterday.
Yeah.
On a kickoff. Man, he shouldered a guy. I don't know how either of them got up.
I know.
Don't give me the concussion nonsense. It is way too easy, especially with the kickers, as we talked about. First and 10 from the 35. The Eagles' pucks had one foul at the end of the half, a 15-yarder. They got 2 yards and kicked a 65-yarder to end the half. Because you're getting the ball at the 35. You can't do it. Just
that's the part of it I hate. I'm with you. But I do like that the play is a play now. And by the way, it's an exciting play a lot of the times. But
I agree. It's just too much. Just eliminate it.
Did you see Aubrey last night? Did you see how good Aubrey is at having that ball hit, at about the 2-yard line and go into the end zone?
It was amazing. But also, you can't even play situational football anymore with these kickers of timeouts. Because if there's 18 seconds and one timeout from your own 27, you're going for it.
All right, I got to run. Like always good to catch up, Stan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, I'll make this quick. One thing I think that's evident with some players on defense, it doesn't matter what scheme we're in, because regardless, they're going to be horrible. I think Lattimore, he gets beat whether it's zone, man, or when he's pressing on the line. And one thing about him, if you're going to hold, actually commit the holding penalty so you don't give up another 40 yards to Drake London. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then Quan Martin, to me, Kevin, I don't know what your thoughts on him are. He's not a starting safety, in my opinion. Majority of the time, he looks lost, and he's not interested in tackling. He missed like 5 tackles yesterday.
He missed some tackles yesterday. Anyway. No doubt.
And Louvu and Wagner can't cover. And like I said last week, I think running backs need to get 20-plus carries. That seems like the winning recipe. If you look at this is what goes into next week. If you want to beat the Chargers, just look what the Giants did. They ran the ball 40-plus times.
Yep, they did.
Stadamu's a monster. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, good call, Ralphie. Appreciate that. Let's go to Rod in Landover. Rod, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, Rod.
Man, that game was extremely disappointing. Not because they lost, but the context of the game going into the game. That even though we know we knew we weren't gonna have Jaden or Terry, Atlanta lost 30-0 the week before that. Now I know Atlanta's a better team than that, but just knowing they lost 30-0 and then came back and put up 34 on this defense, man, it was crazy. I think they need to run Bill more. Bill seemed to be really explosive, and I can't wait to see him and Jaden Daniels side by side. So this seemed like that'd be a good fit for Jaden Daniels and for Bill. But this defense, man, as bad as the defense played, they still had a chance after we scored, and I think we got the 2-point conversion. All we had to do was stop them.
One stop.
And Atlanta picked up. Man, they picked up 3 third downs on that drive. Three of them. You know, it was just unbelievable, man. This defense, it's crazy because I thought this defense, the first 3 weeks, I thought this defense was pretty solid. Atlanta really exposed this defense. This defense, styles make fights, and I think there are certain teams that we're going to play this year that's going to be a bad matchup for this defense.
I think Sunday could be one of those, but I think offensively, you got your stud back. You got your MVP back. Look, I think last week in the NFL means nothing to what this week is going to be. It just is the case every single year. That's why I picked Atlanta, and I thought Atlanta would win this game because they do have talent as well. But it's one game. Defensively, though, the results that they had that were positive were against two struggling and hurt offensive teams on those particular days. That's why there was some caution about being declaring anything about this defense. I do think the talent up front is better. I think the Kinlaw addition is already proven to be something that is a positive versus what they had last year, but there's a long way to go. Thanks for the call. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll take a few more of your calls, and then we'll get to Ben Standig at noon. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here's what's happening. It is a misery Monday, September 29th. The Commanders, they fall 34-27 to the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta's quarterback Mike Penix posted a career-high 313 yards and two touchdowns despite the concessions being so cheap. The Commanders' defense could not buy a stop at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We go around the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles, they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-25. Eagles got off to a scorching hot start and fell off a cliff in the second half, not completing a single pass. But they're able to escape with the win in spite of the Bucs' best effort. The Giants, they get their first win of the season over the LA Chargers, 21-18. Malik Nabers goes down with what has been confirmed as an ACL injury. He will miss the remainder of the season. Jackson Dart had a solid debut, but the Giants' defense showed up and showed out, forcing two interceptions from quarterback Justin Herbert. And they were certainly the difference in the game. Finally, the Dallas Cowboys took on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football in the return of standout pass rusher Micah Parsons. An offensive explosion in the fourth quarter ballooned that total and sent the game to overtime. Each team makes out with a field goal. We get our first tie of the season at 40-40. To baseball, Nats close out game 162 against the Chicago White Sox with an 8-0 loss. The Nats produced only one hit, seemed pretty eager to get on with their offseason. The Caps, they get the win at a preseason shootout versus the New Jersey Devils. Charlie Lindgren saves 20 of 22 shots, including a 2-on-0 rush with his left pad. Ryan Leonard and Graham Clark, the two regulation goal scorers. The Caps win 3-2 again in the shootout. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all of football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Try to move quickly. Let's go Joe Springfield. Joe, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
All right, so instead of giving a likes, I'm going to give a lot of didn't likes, and I leave you with a question. Didn't like the defense. I mean, it feels like, you know, we played better at home when on the road so far this season. We come out with a fire.
Well, the opponents at home, have been easier. Home,
I agree with you. But there's always even difference. But yeah, great. I mean, we played some mediocre teams at home the first four weeks of the season.
A couple of bad teams, actually, when we played them.
Yeah. So the question is about why was there not a pass interference called when Mario threw that deep pass to Chris Moore? Because to me, it looked like he was being held. I understand that we got away with that. We got those penalties, but the fact that that could have easily changed the game completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it does happen.
I should have pointed that out.
Marcus
Good one.
Mariota.
Yeah.
And Mariota, when he got sacked, it looked like he got grabbed by the face mask as well because he was adjusting his helmet when he got back up. That should have been called, too. So my final question, he's been inactive for the first 2 weeks since we signed him. Is Preston Smith not healthy, or is he going to see the field at all? Because I'm not saying he would make a difference on the defense. Defense will still struggle. But why has he been inactive these first 2 weeks? Because you've seen what he can do, and I'm sure he would love to get back on the field. So take care, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. You know, pass rush hasn't been the issue this year. We'll see what Preston Smith has, and maybe he needs 2 weeks to get up to speed. Dave in Raleigh. Dave, go ahead. Dave, go ahead, man. Let's put Dave back on hold. Let's go to Jeremy in Baltimore. Jeremy, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thanks. I thought that caller did a nice job. I think we're giving Dan Quinn too much credit here. I have major problems with things that he decided to do that actually worked out, but just because the result worked doesn't make it the right decision. There's no reason to go for two there. You don't get it. The game is completely over. Am I wrong?
I don't like that. The analytics say more information is better than less information. The earlier you get it, it's better. I think game context and game pressure should be taken into consideration. I prefer 31-23. But at the same time, I don't call 31-23, you know, a legitimate one-score game, because the probability is that it's actually a two-score game because the conversion rate is less than 50% on average. So, yeah, I didn't love that, but that's not why they lost the game.
No.
They made that.
I agree. We lost because our defense was terrible. I'm shocked that you don't think that our pass rush was a problem yesterday. We got one pressure and one sack. I think that
was, more than one pressure. Like, I think it's more than one pressure, but certainly not the number of pressures from the first 3 weeks. You're right. I think overall coverage was a much bigger issue yesterday than anything else. There seemed to be people once again running wide open.
Here's my biggest gripe.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels masked so many problems with our team last year that we're in year two of a rebuild. I don't remember a team that we've faced over the past year and 4 months where we, from a talent perspective, could compete. We look small and slow and old. And yeah, we did amazing things last year, but that was because of number five. Like, this team is way behind other teams. And we need, and that's okay. But our philosophy has to be that, like, our defense sucks. So, like, we have to keep the ball. And, like, we have to be on third and six running the ball so that it's fourth and two and going for it, because we need to be that aggressive. We're not a great team. We're not even a very good team. So we have to be advantageous in the way we approach things. I don't know that our coaching staff truly understands or believes that. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. There's no doubt that this roster, you know, look, a lot of rosters don't have depth and, you know, depth at every position and can overcome, you know, a slew of injuries at key positions. Most teams can't. You know, the slow part of it, certainly in coverage with guys like Bobby Wagner, it looks slow. But I think the effort and the speed and the urgency isn't the issue. I think there's something else going on here, especially in coverage, that just seems to be maybe an execution and talent standpoint, but I think that the coaching and the scheme and the play calling may have something to do with it as well. Let's go to our guy Billy in Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning.
What's up, Billy?
The first thing we ought to do is congratulate the USA for winning the Ryder Cup. That was an amazing performance.
I'll tell you what, man, it was a compelling watch all weekend long. But the Euros, listen, they just that event better. I can't explain it, but they do it better.
It's another hoax, and you'll find out later, probably this week, the PGA of America will announce that USA actually won that Ryder Cup game match, the Samuel Ryder Cup match. It's another hoax NFL game, too. And I expect that Major Tutty will make an announcement on Wednesday that we actually won that game and the score is going to be reversed. And if it's not reversed and if the Commanders aren't reinstated at 4-0, I think we should sue the NFL as fans.
Okay. Do you have anything of substance for the day after a game?
Yeah, this is all on Adam Peters. I'm sorry. This is all on Adam Peters. You should have brought Terry in at the beginning of the season. They would have had the offense in step. Jaden wouldn't have got hurt. We'd be 4-0 right now. This is all on Adam Peters.
He wanted to bring him in early in the season. The other side was delusional.
Okay.
Terry should have come in earlier. Terry and his agent should have gotten real about their value and appreciated that the team was even offering an extension and come back.
Here's the delusion, Kevin. The Commanders football team had none of the power. Terry had all of the power.
That's really? How'd that work out for him?
Because we're 2-2 right now, and our offense stinks, and our quarterback's hurt, and Terry's hurt, and the season is on the brink.
It's not on the brink.
And I'm on the brink.
I'm
always on the brink.
You can't predict injury. You're always on the brink. That's true. I got to run. I'm up against a hard out. Colby, Kent, Bones, everybody else on hold. I'm sorry. Maybe we'll come back to calls at the very end of the show. Ben Standing next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.